You know, the biggest, when you find out you're dying, the biggest thing is regret. I didn't get to do everything. I thought I would have more time. I feel robbed. And so, you know, it's such, being in that industry at such a young age really taught me, hey, you aren't here forever, because us young people tend to think we're invincible, but work in hospice long enough, you realize you're definitely not invincible.
Right. Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 3 of the Eudaimonia podcast. I'm your host, Andrew Nonberg, and today's episode, we had the pleasure of chatting with Tierney Tyann, and there's some great information in this conversation with Tierney. We talk all things meditation, mentorship, non-traditional learning. And we really get into some funny stuff, but some serious stuff about what made her change her career path and direction in education and so forth. So we hope you enjoy this episode with Tierney. Tierney, hey, welcome to the show.
Hey, Andrew, thanks for having me.
Sure. So we have an interesting relationship. We've worked together a lot in the past on different projects and ideas and whatnot. But if you would let everyone know, if you don't mind, a little bit about yourself, how you got to where you're at, what you're doing, and whatever you think's relevant, we'd love to hear it.
Okay, cool. So I actually was able to sort of skip college and go down a non-traditional learning path. I started out in nursing, and I thought I wanted to be a nurse, and I worked in a nursing home, which taught me a lot about life in general, especially because I watched people who had lost their health and really just the value of appreciating a day. And then I went into hospice, which taught me a ton, mainly about regret. And then I realized that I didn't want to be married to my job, and I wanted to have freedom, so I started working for a B2B publication selling ads. So I met with 10 to 15 business people a week. And then during those meetings, I just sort of kind of went off script and asked them a ton of questions about themselves and why they started their businesses, and realized that I wanted to be in business. So I focused on building relationships, and I was referred by a friend to Patrick. He was looking for a marketer, and I didn't have a whole lot of skills besides that I could talk, really. That's probably about it. So I had some emotional intelligence, I guess. I had some skills with social media, but I didn't have the broad complexity of inbound marketing knowledge that I do now. So I started with Patrick, and he gave me some really great mentors in Omaha. One was Businesswoman of the Year 2014. She ran a really big marketing agency. She really taught me about SEO and how to build an authentic brand. I also had another mentor that was more social media focused, and then product development. So with mainly like biz ops, online educational products, not drop shipping, but courses.
Sure.
And then as we've kind of grown, I've had some other mentors like Alex Meir, who is the founder of Zoosk. And then he's also the founder of MentorBox, PhD, NASA scientist, really, really great, cool guy. And then I've also had the pleasure of working with Ty Lopez and his team, who's sort of, you know, the internet marketing king. So I've had some very, very lucky encounters with some really smart people, and they have been courteous enough to sort of teach me a lot. So kind of a different path than most, but definitely worth it.
Wow. Yeah, I there's some stuff in there I wasn't aware of. That's amazing. As someone like myself who spent the better part of a decade pursuing higher education and multiple degrees, I often find people are fascinated by my path and that I went down so many different, you know, different career ideas and paths and learning. And, you know, I went to mortuary school, and then I went to business school, and then I became a writer, and then I went to law school, and all this stuff happened.
Mortuary school. Can we stop there for a second?
Yeah, right. So that was actually the very first thing I did out of high school. I have some friends and family that are in the business, and I didn't know what I wanted to do. And so, I went to mortuary school. I knew I didn't want to
continue doing it for some of the similar reasons that you talked about in nursing. But that's, you know, a couple things struck a chord with me because I work with families, you know, and probably their moments of biggest grief with the loss of a loved one and stuff. That was something I always thought was foundational or fundamental in my learning and my life experience. Mm-hmm. I can imagine it probably a similar thing. You're just, you get them a little bit, you know, prior to when I did, but.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. It was definitely fascinating. The biggest, when you find out you're dying, the biggest thing is regret. I didn't get to do everything. I thought I would have more time. I feel robbed. And so, you know, it's such, being in that industry at such a young age really taught me, hey, you aren't here forever, because us young people tend to think we're invincible, but work in hospice long enough, you realize you're definitely not invincible.
Right. That's fascinating. You know, the thing I think about, like, I'm really intrigued about your story, because, you know, you called it non-traditional. It is what it is. I think it's interesting. I see more and more people doing that. And I often wonder what your experiences are in terms of, you know, a lot of people find, whether they went to 10 years of college or none, they're always mm-hmm. trying to find mentors. Do you mind speaking a little bit about that mentor relationship? Because
sure.
I've spent a ton of time mentoring different I call them kids, but they're not kids. They're college age or recent graduates. And a lot of times they seem to fizzle out, or they're not invested in the experience, or they view it as a one-way street. They say, oh, someone referred me to you, and please just dump everything you know on me and
right.
I'll be on my way.
Right. So let's see. Let's start maybe with my childhood. So that'll maybe help explain why I was so dedicated sort of wanted to soak up everything this mentor gave me. My parents weren't educated. I kind of grew up in a chaotic environment. And so when I met this, you know, previous CEO of a company, she really kind of started it. I was just enamored by her. She was just so, like, sort of godly to me in a way. I was only 21, you know, so that kind of helped. She honestly, she didn't ever have to hold my hand. That's one skill I always try and pass on to people that I'm mentoring, is to just be extremely resourceful and adaptable. Mm-hmm. She would say, you know, we would meet and she would say, this is the inbound methodology. Go back and research SEO and tell me what you find. And so I would do that. And then I would just keep going and going. And so she never really had to, you know, give me homework or check up on me, or mm-hmm. I just really appreciated her knowledge and her wisdom, and in a way wanted to be her, you know? So I took that relationship with as much gratitude as I possibly could, and out of it, you know, grew into this relationship. Now she said to me once, you probably know more than me now. That's what mentors do, right? They take you from where you are to where they are, and lightning speed time. And then you can, and then you sort of outgrow them, not in a bad way, but that's what mentors allow you to do, is they allow you to grow at an exponential rate. So, I think that some kids maybe grew up with a lot of mentorship and a lot of help, and I didn't. So I don't know if maybe that's why I was so dedicated to it.
It's fascinating. I love the word resourceful, because I laugh at the little bit of, like, you consume, like, national news. You always see these stories about, like, millennials are lazy or blah, blah, blah.
I know.
And I don't live in a world where I interact with that type of personality. And
right.
So I always find it fascinating. But, I mean, I know plenty of baby boomer aged people that are not resourceful.
Yes, me too.
It's a skill that is often overlooked and undervalued, I think, in the entrepreneurial community.
Oh, completely. Yeah, 100%. The Marie Forleo's big thing is everything is figure outable.
Yeah, right. You
know? And there's a meme. Can I cuss on here?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. There's a meme that says, just fucking Google it. And I want to have somebody paint that and hang it in my office, because – I just get the dumbest questions sometimes. Not to be rude, like I have no problem answering questions, but if you can plug it into Google, do it. You know?
It reminds me, I don't even know if it's still a thing, but early on in one of the businesses I started, it was a tech company, and we had our chief technology officer use this website. I can't remember what it was called. I can look it up and put it in the show notes, but it was like, I will show you how to Google. It was like IWSG or something like that. So go to the website and type in the, or just like copy and paste the question that someone text messaged you or IMF.
Oh my gosh.
And then you send them the link back and it shows them like typing it in there.
That's hilarious.
I'll see it.
Yes, I need that. That's perfect. I love it. That's great.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, so I am extremely resourceful. We just bought a house probably a year and a half ago, gutted it, redid it, and really just used YouTube. And that's kind of how my life has gone since I got out of high school.
Amazing.
Yeah, pretty cool.
That's a great story. So the one thing that I try to do on this show is pull out consistent themes from individuals that seem to tie into living a happy and or flourishing life. Hence the show name Eudaimonia. And what I heard you say earlier that has me, it really resonates with me because it was similar to why I jumped and bailed ship on working the traditional 9-to-5 was I had a family when I was still in the mortuary business tell me that the last thing that they, the last conversation they had with their dad was he spent the entire time talking about his regrets and not the bad things that he did in his life. Like he talked, you know, you think about everybody makes mistakes and we all sin and we all probably do things that we regret in the moment. He didn't talk about any of that stuff.
Yeah.
He talked about all of the stuff that he didn't do.
Yeah.
That really fascinated me. But yeah, go ahead. If you want to expand on that, that'd be awesome.
Yeah, my favorite quote is regrets for the things we did can be tempered by time, but it's regrets for the things we didn't do that's inconsolable. Mm-hmm. So I completely, that's how I live. I don't want to, and I'm young enough, so I'm lucky enough to hopefully not, you know, say that and then not eat my own dog food per se. But, sure. But yeah, that was for sure when people were on hospice, I didn't get to do this and I worked too hard. I worked too late. I didn't spend enough time with my family. I didn't travel as much as I wanted to. I didn't start that business that I wanted. And that is sickening to me. I don't want to get to end of life and feel like that.
Exactly. It makes me think about starting a business or exiting a career path and so forth. They go one of two directions with the conversation. One usually is it's like a confidence thing. They don't feel like they have the skills or they'll ever be able to be knowledgeable or whatever it is. Or the second one is they come out swinging and going like, you know, 1,000 miles an hour, thinking that that's how you have to operate and live to be successful as an entrepreneur. Or if you're working in a position that gives you a bunch of flexibility. And I always chuckle because I think they get that idea from guys like Gary Vaynerchuk, where not to discredit his success and his work ethic, but I think there's some smoke and mirrors to that because I don't think he's a guy that works 20 hours a day, 7 days a week. I mean, he's got kids and he's got a family and mm-hmm. he's close to friends and so forth. And so I do think while you are in your business or what your creative endeavor or whatever it is, There's an element to hustling and working your ass off, but there's also an element to the slowness or the slow part of, you know, being aware of your surroundings and so forth. Have you noticed either with your age or with yourself that they're doing one or the other?
So the hustle is fun to me,
right?
So when everything is busy and you're going and you're making shit happen and everything's rocking and falling into place, that's fun. It's when stuff slows down and persistence knocks on the door and says, if you don't keep going and pushing, then it's not going to work out. That's why like that, you know, when stuff slows down, it's kind of like this, it's a slow persistence. You still have to keep moving, but it's not as fun as the hustle, but it's also right. a really good time to take pause and to step back and say, what's working, what's not working, and what's our next move? How do we keep going? Really for the people that are my age that I know, they're not, I don't know a lot of people that are about the hustle. And maybe that's because we're in the Midwest, you know?
Sure.
I do have one friend that works, you know, nonstop. He started his own business, but he's sort of in labor work. Mm-hmm. He's kind of trying to get out of that. And I would say maybe, you know, not as happy as people that pause and take time to plan.
Interesting. Yeah, I think for me personally, I have this weird, I view it as weird, I guess, persistence and perception that I often will find myself working, not smart, I guess would be the word. Like, so all of a sudden, I've encountered a problem or there's a struggle or something's going on that we're trying to find an answer to. And instead of, you know, maybe walking away and going and doing something like working out or whatever, just being alone or whatever the thing is, putting the computer away. I try to work harder. And
right.
I think almost it's almost always the wrong thing to do.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. The Barbara, I think her name's Barbara Oakley. She has a book, A Mind for Numbers, and she talks a lot about how really successful people will, if they have a problem, they'll walk away and put it on their back burner. She even coined a term for it. And how our subconscious will want to fix that, will want to create solutions, and they'll actually present itself like when you're in the shower or when you're, you know, lying in bed at night. And that's what, like, that back burner is so important. And that to me is sort of pause.
Yeah.
Instead of, you know, knocking your head against the wall, just step away from it and come back. And you'd be surprised at how well your brain works through it without you really focusing on it.
Sure. It's interesting. Like, for me, as a writer, I've found that if I can go and walk or run or do something physical for 30 minutes, I get myself in like I immediately am in that flow state.
Yeah.
I can just sit down and just write like a complete crazy person for an hour. And then I know that after that hour is up, it doesn't matter if I sit for 3 more hours, I'm done. Or so I just got to the point now where I know I'm done. I walk away, I do something else.
Yeah.
I think it's interesting. Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No. You go.
I was going to say, I think it's interesting that that's enabled me, I think, to schedule my day around things that are going to make me less stressed. It makes more time for, you know, spending time with family or socializing, you know, whatever it is that I have found that makes me the most, you know, happy at the end of the day.
Yeah.
Recognizing those things about yourself, I think really, really matters.
Yeah, knowing yourself, I think. Right? Yeah, that's huge. How best do you get stuff done? How best do you learn? That's so important. When I first started, so when I was 22, I knew I was extroverted, and that was about the extent of it.
Interesting, yeah.
I didn't know a lot about myself. I'd always done okay. I got A's and B's in school. Mm-hmm. I got some C's in math. But I don't even think I took home homework one time except for like college English class. So I didn't think I was like that great at school. I mean, I knew I could write a little bit, but I didn't know who I was. And now I know, you know, what my biological prime time is, if I'm best in the morning or at night, how I best complete tasks. That's so important.
Yeah, absolutely. Cool. Well, I won't, keep you too long here. I've got, you know, something I do to end the show. I ask, you know, a few different questions. I'm going to do something different because we were talking about, end of life and regret and things like that. I'll ask you kind of a two-part question. So one being, what would you recommend listeners do, whether it's an experience or an activity or a purchase, that can directly and immediately impact, say, the happiness they're experiencing or lessen their stress in their life? Is there anything that you have found or that you recommend people do or buy? And I'll give you an example. So what I have done is I went and purchased a second charger for my MacBook so I can leave one at home and I can leave one somewhere else.
Okay.
So I'm not always trying to find, and that immediately, it sounds silly, and
no.
I still laugh when I tell the story, but it immediately reduced the stress in my life because I wasn't always having to worry about forgetting a cord, one place,
right,
or getting home with a dead computer.
Yeah, no, that totally makes sense. Yeah. That's a good idea. I should do that, actually.
Right?
I lost my charger for half a week last week. I was so frustrated. And then when I found it, I was even more frustrated because it was in my book bag. So anyway, I think that your readers might have heard this a million times, but I'm a huge advocate for meditation. I used to have a really, really busy mind. I started with Headspace. That sort of taught me a lot of the fundamentals. Mm-hmm. And now I do it every morning, and it's like a cup of coffee, and just, you know, helps me manage my emotions better. I was never taught how to do that, and just makes your adult life so much better when you have a clear mind and focus, and you know how, if, you know, I think we have an epidemic where we are psychologically ill, like rampant within our society. And if we would just teach meditation in schools and as we get older, I think that it would really help. So that would be my number one recommendation for a better life.
Awesome. That's really cool. Do you, and we'll have to do a part two sometime because I've got so many ideas on meditation. Are you still doing guided meditation?
I play around with it. So sometimes I do if I am sort of like I'm tired or if I can't. I feel like I just need a little bit of help. So I'm actually experimenting with the app called Calm right now. Just recently I've started it on my own. So I only do only do about 10 minutes. So some leaders in the field would say 20. I only do it about 10, and I want to probably increase it to 20. But it gets easier. It definitely gets easier.
Fascinating. Cool. Well, your story is remarkable.
Thanks.
Thank you for being
here.
I'm gonna leave part two of that question because I'm gonna make you come back for a part two now that we opened this
up.
Cool. So I appreciate you being here, and we'll link everything in the show notes.
Cool.
So you can learn more about Tierney and what she's working on and some of the stuff that we talked about.
Awesome. Thanks so much.
We'll see you next
time. Thanks for having me.
Yeah,
thanks, Andrew. Bye bye.
See ya.
Hey guys, thanks for being here. We appreciate you supporting the Eudaimonia podcast. If you'd be so kind to subscribe to Apple Podcasts, Anchor Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast, we would really, really appreciate that. And if you'd go one step further and review this podcast, we would also appreciate that. And of course, 5 stars are appreciated. Just saying. But again, we thank you for being here, and please let us know if you have any comments, suggestions, ideas for guests, additional content, topics, and so forth. We'd love to hear them.
The podcast you just heard was recorded with Anchor. If you want to make your own, download the Android or iOS app completely free from anchor.fm/podcast. That's anchor.fm/podcast.